Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cheat Sheet edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma. Just a little programming note or reminder, this is our quick hit, fast fact type show, just to kind of get you some of the updates on the injury reports, where to maybe watch, listen, or otherwise see and follow the Steelers and Bengals game this upcoming Sunday as the 3-6 Pittsburgh Steelers play host at Acrisure Stadium to the 5-4 Cincinnati Bengals. And one of the biggest storylines, of course, heading into this game is the injury. So we're going to dive right into the injury report just at this moment. Minkah Fitzpatrick looks like he's going to be a go on Sunday. A little over a week. That was last Saturday where he quote said to the beat reporters this week, a little bit of the bubble guts. So we talk about a little bit about how these injuries may or may not impact the Steelers and the Bengals in our pregame show. So just again, a programming note, this is just your quick update. It's a supplement to the pregame show that already aired yesterday. So go check that out as we go to dive headfirst here into the injury report. And as mentioned, Minkah Fitzpatrick, a few names down if you happen to be seeing our video version of this podcast. And he was DMP on Wednesday, but full participant each of the last 2 days and expected to play after the appendicitis, the appendectomy. Just really crazy for me to think of how much some of these guys are warriors. Najee Harris was on this report earlier with a knee, but he was a full participant in each of the 3 days of practice this week. Akello Witherspoon is the only player currently ruled out of this game. He did not practice at all this week, still trying to recover from what I think was a tweaked hamstring injury going back several games. What was that, with the Eagles game, I do believe, where he just returned. Hamstrings are such a funny thing. I absolutely hate them in combination with back injuries, like my least favorite injuries. And if you got one of those two things going on, it usually doesn't bode well in your recovery if you don't get enough time and enough rest. So hopefully Akello can get some rest and get back out there soon, but just looks like something had been re-aggravated there. Marcus Allen was an early DMP on Wednesday with an illness, but he was a full participant each of the next two practices. Minkah Fitzpatrick was already mentioned with the same. Devin Bush and Trent Scott both were on this report, but full participants with Thursday and Friday's practices. TJ Watt was listed here. He got a Thursday veteran day of rest. Larry Ogunjobi and Kevin Dotson to almost round out this entire list, because Cam Hayward also got the veteran treatment. Larry O and Dotson both did not practice Wednesday, limited Thursday, full participant Friday. They do not have any type of specified game status, as does any of the other players other than Akello Witherspoon, and we'll continue to monitor the Marvin Leal and what his progress may be, and if he happens to be activated to return. He's within the 21-day window currently, designated to come back by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So now we're going to scroll down a little bit, take a look at the Cincinnati Bengals. As we guessed already, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, was not put on injured reserve by the Bengals, and I thought they were probably thinking they were going to get him back a little sooner, but his hip injury still continues to keep him out. He did not practice all week and has already been ruled out for this game, as has Josh Tupou, who had been playing in place of DJ Reader, who is expected to return from injured reserve and play for the Bengals for the first time since going out in week 3. So he's being activated from injured reserve, so it would appear, and is a go for Sunday. Lyle Collins got a day of rest in the middle of all of this. Chris Evans and Trey Flowers show up on the list as limited all week and questionable for this game. Trey Flowers, important to note here, because Eli Apple at the bottom of this list popped up on the injury report here on Friday with a calf and limited. So Eli's one of the two starters right now. Chidobe Awuzie already on injured reserve, and they had Cam Taylor-Britt playing in his place. Trey Flowers is a reserve listed as the reserve corner in place of both of those players. Mike Hilton, however, he had a surgery on his hand or finger. He was listed here as a full participant all week. He's kind of been, again, I don't know who people create these stories or if it's something that was directly attributed to something the player said, but, you know, Hilton's a former Steeler and always sounds like he's geared up for these games. I don't know if it's like revenge games or something like that. I thought the Steelers handled his situation pretty well. Everybody tends to forget that they had like 30, 40 million in the hole with the salary cap last year and just couldn't re-sign a whole bunch of players. Although, as much as I loved Hilton when he was here, wasn't at the top of my list. So a little extra banter there for you as I pound the rest of these out. Dax Hill, first round draft pick, defensive back, used in a lot of situations, mostly a safety, dime backer type role. He was not a participant in practice all week with a shoulder injury and has been ruled out as well. Deontay Smith, offensive tackle, showed up on Thursday with an illness. And he was a full participant on Friday. Stanley Morgan, reserve wide receiver, personal matters, did not practice Thursday and Friday. And that kind of does it for everyone here. So the big ones are Jamar Chase is out. That's very considerable. And DJ Reader coming back, his reserve player, the guy who's been playing in his place, Josh Tupou, also out, and Dax Hill. Those are the big ones on the side for the Cincinnati Bengals. A little more kind of banged up, I would think, heading into this game than maybe the Steelers are currently. And this is going to be a pretty big matchup. So you're looking at a game that's actually going to be played Sunday at 4:25 Eastern time. So this is a change, a big change, because this was supposed to be a Sunday night football game and it's no longer a Sunday night football game. So make sure you mark your calendars and make note. One other one to kind of throw out here real quick. I forgot this was mentioned in the pregame show too, but I will mention that Drew Chrisman's going to probably be making his punting debut here in place of the long time veteran punter for the Bengals, Kevin Huber. Had somebody in the notes drop a quick comment to me as well about the color rush thing. And it's not necessarily required that both teams wear color rush at the same time. So just wanted to throw that out in case you didn't see that or somebody else was thinking the same. That could be prefaced with last night's game between the Titans, who did not wear like their, you know, full Tar Heel blue color rush jerseys against the Green Bay Packers, who wore their, not a big fan of these, but the white jerseys. You know, the Bengals, at least, I mean, you take a look at their white jerseys. I mean, they're even wearing their white helmets with practice now too. Those are actually kind of neat, and they have some historical significance to them as well for that franchise. So I could get down with that. I know the Packers probably do as well. The Steelers have never worn an all white as a color rush, but they had in the late 60s, I believe, with the black striped pants. Those were pretty, I might've been Mean Joe Green's rookie season, if I remember correctly. Those were pretty solid looking shirts and pants with the combination there. That'd be kind of neat to see the Steelers maybe drag that out, but the Steelers will be in the black and gold color rush jerseys. 4:25, once again, not in the prime time. They were probably thinking this was going to be a prime time deal where and put the color rush on deck there, but that one's not going, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be on Sunday Night Football, and that's kind of good for those of us who have to work Monday morning, right? Have to get up early, get the kids on the bus and everything like that. So a 4:25 game Sunday. Once again, this is at Acrisure Stadium, Pittsburgh. With a capacity of 68,400, they were only about maybe just under 2,000 shy of full capacity with standing room, by the way, at Acrisure last week against the Saints, but much colder weather expected, maybe about 30 degrees. Just it's going to be very frigid and cold. And as we know, the sun's going down about 5:30 now over there in Western Pennsylvania. Natural grass surface, of course, at Acrisure Stadium. The game will be broadcast on CBS. A lot of these games as of late have been Fox games because of the NFC opponents that are involved. You could also catch this game on Paramount Plus and NFL Plus if you are in these specific geographical regions that I am about to throw up on the screen. And there's is some throw up. The red is not the Steelers game in this one. So unless you're in Ohio, most of Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and portions of Kentucky, and then down in like Baton Rouge, Louisiana, this game will not be available to you over the good old-fashioned rabbit ears. So keep that one in mind as you're making your plans this weekend to maybe make some alternative plans. You may have to head to a bar or find some alternative means or methods to watch this particular game. It was really kind of odd when I was thinking about this, because I just kind of figured it was like this game. This is still like a money game, and it got bumped from Sunday Night Football. And what you're seeing now is it got bumped for Chiefs Chargers, and the entire red section on the map is actually Dallas and Minnesota. And I understand the Vikings, 7-8 wins team, and Dallas, oh, America's team, always at 425 or whatever. And as you could probably guess, that's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo with the call on that game. The Steelers, not so fortunate to get Nantz and Romo on this particular game. This one's going to be called by Greg Gumbel, Adam Archuleta, and AJ Ross as the field reporter on Steelers Radio Network. That will be Bill Hillgrove, of course, with Craig Wolfley. Your sideline analysis with Missy Matthews and Max Starks. The referee for this game is Brad Allen. The Steelers lead the all-time series against the Cincinnati Bengals 68-38. The last win, of course, coming on September 11th of this season, week one, when they won in Cincinnati 23-20 in overtime. The Steelers at home lead this series 35-17. The Bengals won last year at September 26th, like two, three weeks into the season, by a margin of 24-10. On the road, of course, the Steelers were the last victor, but they lead there too, 33-21. And in the postseason, the Steelers lead this series between these two. It doesn't happen often between division rivals, but it is a 2-0 lead with the Steelers. But the Bengals have won three of the last four. So keep that one in mind, that one right now. So they would have won three straight heading into the week one game at home. Defending AFC champions, just fresh off a Super Bowl. They're probably out looking for revenge. The head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, who has won 57, 91-2 in 16 seasons with the team. He is 23-8 career against the Cincinnati Bengals. Zach Taylor is 3-4 against the Steelers, 21-36-1 in his fourth year with the Bengals. Kind of surprising to see that, though, like 21-36-1. He's still got quite the hill to climb here with a 5-4 team. Leading the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, let's take a look at this. Points for 15.6 to 25.3. So the Bengals are much more potent offense, putting up 361.8 yards of offense, about 50-ish more than the Steelers, 307.9. Steelers are led by Kenny Pickett, who's thrown for 1,161 yards, two touchdowns, and eight interceptions, while Joe Burrow is thrown for a little over 2,500 yards, 18 touchdowns, and six picks. He has a 102.6 QB rating on the season, most of that coming after the first week or two of the year where the Bengals weren't playing too hot. They had given up, they've only given up like 9 sacks or something like that over the last course of the few games. That's off the top of my head. I was reading it actually somewhere else, and I don't think I have it available to pull up right now, but that was against the Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. I'll get that official for you because, you know, my OCD will bug me on this one. So Joe Burrow was sacked 13 times in those first two games against the Cowboys and the Steelers. They've gotten their act together a little bit better heading into this game after the last seven. Following those first two games, Burrow's been sacked 17 times. So 30 times on the season so far. However, the great portion of those coming, especially when the Steelers had a healthy TJ Watt, which they do once again. So we'll see how the Bengals end up doing here. Of course, when the teams are in the positive for the turnover differential, they're both winning or leading franchises. And we take a look a little more at the head-to-head between the two coming up on Sunday, and the Steelers rank 31st in points scored with that 15.6 to the Bengals 6th in points scored on offense. Points allowed, the Steelers are 20th to the Bengals 13th. Takeaway differential, the Steelers are -2, the Bengals are +3 currently. That's good for 8th in the National Football League. Pass and run, the Steelers are 24th and 22nd. The Bengals are 6th and 27th. They've been struggling to run the football, but are looking to get back-to-back 100 rush yard games from Joe Mixon, who had one last week. Defensively, the Steelers are 30th against the pass, 6th against the run, whereas the Bengals are kind of in the middle with both at 12 against the pass and 17 defensively against running. Let's see what else we've got here. They're led Alex Highsmith, 8.5 sacks. Believe that leads the league again. Trey Hendrickson with 4 kind of put up there as a leader. I know Sam Hubbard's right behind him, either with four, three, three and a half, somewhere in that ballpark. Von Bell has four interceptions. Minkah Fitzpatrick has three. In the kick game, Matt Wright, 2-2 for point after attempts last week, 2-4 on field goals. Not exactly what you're hoping for in replacement of Chris Boswell. We mentioned that special teams could be important, of course, if Drew Chrisman is making his punting debut, or the Bengals could also be holding. We know that the long snapper position was a problem for the Bengals in week one, since rectified, but Evan McPherson is 23 of 25 on extra point attempts and 11 of 15 on the year with field goals. But Evan McPherson is a tremendous kicker in his own right. Seems like the AFC North all around tends to have pretty decent kickers. So we'll see what happens. Rushing and receiving wise, Steelers led by Najee Harris, 460 yards, 3.6 average with one rushing touchdown. Joe Mixon, 585 yards for a 3.9 average and six touchdowns on the ground. Deontay Johnson mentioned this on the pregame show. He has 47 receptions, which are the most without a touchdown reception among NFL receivers thus far this season. He has 435 yards, where the Bengals, they are led by T. Higgins now, 564 yards and three touchdowns on the year. We'll see how the Steelers end up coming out firing and what will end up happening, as we'll see if Deontay actually gets his first from maybe Kenny Pickett, who had total 250 yards last week. He had 199 pass yards and another 51 on the ground and a rushing touchdown. He leads all rookies with 1,161 pass yards and ranks tied third in rush TDs with three. Of course, Najee Harris had his season high 99 yards last week, and he's had 70 plus scrimmage yards in three of his four home games this season. Jaylen Warren had that career high 77 scrimmage yards as well last week, and he aims for his third in a row with 70 plus all-purpose yards. It's mentioning already Deontay Johnson. TJ Watt has 15 sacks and 12 tackles for loss in his past seven at home, 7.5 sacks in his last seven games versus Cincinnati, and is looking for his fifth in a row at home versus the Bengals with a sack. He has 33 sacks and 40 tackles for loss in 29 career games against AFC North opponents. That's pretty wild and crazy if you ask me as well. So it's good to see TJ Watt back out on the field menacing opposing quarterbacks. On the Bengals side, Joe Burrow completed 78.6% of his passes. Of course, the Bengals coming off a bye week. I failed to mention that here, but they did not play last week. Their previous game was against the Carolina Panthers. So Burrow completed 78.6% of his passes, 206 yards, and had two touchdowns, one in the air and one on the ground, a 109.2 rating in week nine. Joe Mixon had 211 scrimmage yards and five touchdowns, four of those on the ground, one receiving in week nine as well. He was the sixth player in the Super Bowl era with 200 plus scrimmage yards and five touchdowns in a single game, which is pretty wild when you think about it. So hopefully the Steelers don't allow Mixon to get on the loose there. It's going to be somebody you have to bottle up and contain, or it could help open up too much with this Bengals offense and some of the other players that are featured. Didn't mention Tyler Boyd yet, but he's another guy that's in this. He has a receiving touchdown in two of his past three. He had a touchdown catch in the week one meeting between both of these teams. T. Higgins, seven catches for 60 yards in week nine. He has five plus catches, 60 plus receiving yards in two of his past three. Hayden Hurst had five catches and 46 receiving yards in the week one matchup as well. Trey Hendrickson has a sack in two of his past three against the Steelers. Von Bell has an interception in two of his past three on the road. And Sam Hubbard aims for his third game in a row with at least one half sack. Folks, I think that'll do it for me here on the Cheat Sheet Show. I think that just about covered all bases. Again, thank you for supporting Steel City Underground. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Pittsburgh Steelers, once again, Color Rush game. Both of these teams featuring their fancy alternative jerseys. That once more, if you happen to miss this, you happen to fast forward through, maybe YouTube threw an ad in the middle of this because you're not a premium subscriber. They do that to me even if I am a premium subscriber. But That's out of my control, so don't come jumping in the comments about that. But it's a 4:25 kickoff Eastern time, and the game, once again, hardly viewable just about anywhere. It's largely dominated by the Dallas-Minnesota game across the country in the afternoon slate of games. So we'll see what ends up happening. We'll see if Micah Fitzpatrick really is a go. This just, wow. I still can't believe that I just couldn't even imagine having surgery. And it's also been quoted as, he asked if he could have had the surgery after the game last week, so he still could have played, like, hurt. Hopefully that doesn't hurt your team. I admire the dedication, though, to his craft. So that'll do it for me here, folks. My name's Joe Kuzma, and as we close out each and every one of these shows, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.